right, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Everybody good? Everybody awake? Enjoying this beautiful weather? It's awesome. Love it. So welcome to Life Point Church. We're so glad you're here today and you chose Life Point Church to be your place of worship. There's so many churches all around our city, and the fact that you're here and you chose Life Point Church to do life with us and be in community, we're just honored and thankful to have you here. So as we kick off this morning in our service, we're going to continue on with the message series that we started last week called Sidelined. And what we're doing is we're discussing the different elements in our lives that we've allowed to keep us off mission, right? Sidelined, out of the game, that's distracted us, that's consuming us in a negative way. Aspects of our life that we've allowed to creep in and keep us from being all that God has created us to be and doing all that God has created us to do. The things that put us on the sidelines. And last week, if you were here, we talked about the dangerous root of bitterness, right? How it's a dangerous root and it produces a poisonous fruit. And that the only way that we can get rid of this in our lives is to be willing to forgive, to go through that tough journey sometimes of forgiving those people that have hurt us and wronged us. We have to be willing to forgive if we're going to eliminate bitterness in our life. And if you missed out last week, I encourage you to go back and check that out on the podcast. You can go to our website and check that out. But today, we're going to be spending our time talking about worry. We'll talk about worry. So if you're a worry wart, I'm going to get all up in your business for a little bit today. But that's okay, because to be completely honest, this has been a significant issue in my own life. I mean, I have been consumed with worry for as long as I can remember. It's one of those things that's in my life that people tell me all the time, like they catch me, stop worrying about it. Don't worry about this, don't worry about that. And it's something that I've really struggled with. I'm not going to skip around. I mean, that has been one of my greatest struggles throughout my life. And maybe it's the same for you. In fact, how many of you would be honest this morning and say that at some point in time in your life, or maybe for years or decades, but you have struggled with worry in your life? How many would say that? Man, that makes me worried. No, I'm just kidding, it doesn't. Right? I mean, we all struggle with it. How many actually would say that even this morning, sometime this morning since you've been up, you've struggled with worry? You've worried about something, right? That's how prevalent this is in our lives. There's things that we worry about. And trust me, like I said, I get it. It's one of my weaknesses. It's one of my struggles. Because I worry about things. And honestly, it's like sometimes we feel like we just have to worry. Right? It's like we don't want to, and we know we're not supposed to, but it's like we kind of have to worry about it. Like it makes us feel like we're doing something. Even though we're not. It makes us feel like we're doing something. But as clearly as I can say, the presence of worry in our heart and our life is toxic. It's unproductive. It's not necessary. It's physically unhealthy for us, right? And most importantly, it's not what God has planned for us. He didn't intend for us to be worried all the time like we are. Again, sometimes we know in our heads that we're not supposed to do it, but we feel like we have to. And one of the reasons is because there's just so many things in our world to worry about, right? I mean, we're inundated with it day in and day out. And there's all these different things that we should worry about. I mean, we see it on the news. We see it in the media. We see it on social media or wherever. We have, you know, there's just so many things. We have just rumors and talks of war all the time. You know, unexplained mass shootings. You know, we have these things in our life, constant financial pressures. You know, am I going to be able to pay my bills? Am I going to be able to make enough to continue to survive and continue to do this? We have that pressure, that worry. Wondering if we're good enough. Wondering if we'll be successful. We're worried about these different things. As parents in 2017, it's terrifying to think about keeping your kids safe. Keeping their minds safe. It's things that we worry about. There's so many things we can worry about. Maybe you go to the doctor and, you know, they're running some tests and they need to rule some things out. And then so they run the test And then what happens? You just got to wait. And you wait a couple days. And typically it's longer than a couple days. And then you start to worry. Am I okay? Are they okay? What's going on? We're consumed with worry. We begin to worry about the what ifs. And it begins to just run rampant in our minds. We're consumed with worry. And the result is we find ourselves sidelined, completely distracted on what we are created to do. And so what I want to do today is I want to use scripture, along with some of my own personal struggles and my own journey with worry, to help us finally know how to break free from that suffocating stronghold that is worry in our lives. To break free from that so we can get off the sidelines and get back in the game. So to be transparent, what are the things that I worry about? Well, unfortunately, I worry about way too many things. I really, really tend to struggle with this. If you've known me for any length of time, you'll know that I'm somewhat of a worry ward. I know as soon as I said the word worry and that I typically do that, I saw a couple of heads out here being like, yeah, he does. They know me well. I struggle with worry from time to time. I mean, that's one of my things that I have to continue to give back to God and really work through. I mean, I worry about decision making, right? Am I making the right decisions in this and in that? And what's going to be the ramifications if I make the wrong decision on the short term and the long term? I'm always contingency planning. I'm worried about the outcome. I worry about silly things. Like, I see a spider in my house, and I'm like, oh man, do I have like a nest of brown recluses somewhere? Are they going to eat me and it's going to be terrible? And, you know, then my mind just starts going and I start worrying about those things. I worry about my kids being safe, growing up to be successful. Am I good enough parent? I worry about those things. I worry about my health, the health of my friends and family. I worry about finances. I worry about my role as lead pastor. You know, am I leading in the right direction? Am I doing the right things? Am I interpreting scripture correctly? Am I teaching the right things? These are the things that just constantly are churning and running through my mind. There are so many things that we could worry about if we embrace that, right? If we take hold of worry in our lives. See, a lot of us, we walk through life as if worry is our friend, right? It's our companion. It's our life companion is worry. And you may not say it that way, but your life reflects that. Your life says that worry is your friend, that you've embraced it. Or maybe you've been around church for a long time and you know that you're not supposed to worry, right? That worry is not good. So you don't use the word. You just say, I'm concerned, right? I'm concerned about this, I'm concerned about that, and I'm concerned about this and this. And really what it is it's worry. And it's consumed you. It's taken hold of you. It's suffocating you. Some of you are such chronic worriers that when things are actually going well and there's nothing to worry about, you start to worry about that. Like, maybe I'm missing something. Is there something there that I should be worried about, should be thinking about? You're just consumed, constantly consumed with worry. And what I want you to recognize is that we will never truly be on mission until we begin to eliminate worry from our lives, till we stop letting that have that stronghold in our heart. We break free from that so that we can truly be and do all that God has created us to be and do. Worry is not our friend. It's actually one of our worst enemies. It's not from God, but it's from our spiritual adversary. He uses that as a tool to keep us sidelined. Because he knows that if he can keep us worried about everything that's going on, we're not going to be on mission. We're not going to be about the business of growing the kingdom. Because we're always worried about something. Here's what scripture has to say about worry. And we find it in Romans chapter 14, verse 23. It says, everything that does not come from faith is what? It's sin. Everything that doesn't come from faith is sin. And I think there's a strong argument that could be made that worry is actually the opposite of faith. It's the opposite of faith, right? It's us putting our faith in the worst possible case scenario happening. It's not trusting God. It's faith in those negative bad things as opposed to faith in Christ and his leading in our life. So with that said, we can kind of define, have this working definition of worry. And we could say it this way. So we could say that worry is the sin of distrusting the promise and the power of God. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promise and the power of God. Please understand that worry 100% does not come from God. It's not from Him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this very clearly: for God has not given us a spirit of fear or anxiety or tension or worry or whatever you want to name it. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Power of love and of a sound mind. Fear, worry, anxiety, all those things do not come from God. It's from the evil one. It keeps us sidelined. It keeps us distracted. It keeps us off mission, ineffective with the gospel when we're consumed with worry. Matthew chapter 26, verse 25 says very clearly what Jesus has to say about worry. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. He said, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? He says, don't worry about your life. The word life there, the Greek word for that is psuche, which translates as life, your whole life, your entire life, every aspect of your being, your mental life, your spiritual life, your physical life, your emotional life. He says, don't worry about your life. And then he goes on to say this in verse 27, which I have to claim and cling to this scripture all the time. It says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? It's his way of saying that worry provides zero value in your life. It's pointless. Can you add a single hour to your life through worry? No, you can't. It's fruitless. It's not effective for anything good. Unfortunately, it's effective for keeping us off mission, keeping us distracted, keeping us from trusting God completely with our lives. And see, we know these things. We hear these things, and yet we allow worry to continue to consume us. We're up late at night, worried about what's going to go on for the next day. We're stressing out over it. Our stomach's in knots. We got ulcers, headaches, high blood pressure. We're tired all the time because worry is having that negative impact in our life. Ultimately, we're off mission, sidelined, out of the game, and that's exactly the way our enemy wants to keep it, because of worry. And again, this is so much of my story that I've struggled with over the years. I've been a chronic worrier, like I said, for as long as I can remember. But see, through the power of God, He's enabled me to start making some very positive strides in the right direction with worry. And it's a journey, and it's a battle, and it's a struggle that I have to fight every day. But I've actually made a lot of progress over the years. So if you know me and you think I'm worrisome now, you should have known me back then. My mother-in-law is doing this. But it's by the grace of God that I'm beginning to make and take those strides forward. And obviously, I haven't arrived yet. I have a lot of work to still be done. But I've learned a few things. And what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you three key statements that have really been eye-opening for me. Three statements that really helped me as I began to eliminate worry in my life and begin to take those steps towards trusting God. And the first statement, if you're taking notes, is this: to stop the suffocating grip of worry in our lives, I will do what God asks me to do. Very clearly, very simply, I will do what God asks me to do. I see, one of the problems that I see, and this is just my own thoughts and opinions, and I want you to hang with me on this one, is that there are so many people that are Christ followers that they tend to over-spiritualize everything, okay? And I know that sounds really weird. pastor up here saying that, but hang with me. They over-spiritualize things to the point that they don't do anything. Right? They forget their piece in this game. You know, for example, they'll say things like, well, I'm just going to trust God, and I'm just going to kick back, relax, and let God do all the work. But see, we have a part to play. There's things that God is asking us to do. Logically, for example, if someone's unemployed, right, they don't have a job, and I'm like, you know, hey, man, are you looking for a job? Nope. You get your resume together? Are you at least working on that? No, I'm good. Well, are you applying anywhere? You know, are you networking? Anything like that? No, I'm good. Well, what are you doing? I'm just waiting for God to send that phone call. Someone's going to tell me I got a job. Just trusting God. Oh, we got to get out there and do something, right? We got to do something. You're single, right? And you really want to be married, and you want to have that special somebody. And you're like, you know, well, are you out and about trying to meet people? No, I'm good. Okay, well, what are you doing? Nothing. I'm just waiting for them to come knock on my door and say, hey, God sent me. Now, God could do that for sure, but that's not necessarily what we see. You can keep waiting. Keep staying single. There's things that God has instructed us to do. In order to get rid of worry in our lives, we'll need to do what God asks us to do. James says it like this in James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. We have a beautiful roadmap to life that God has given us through his word. And we have to do what it says. You can read it all day, every day, but if you never put it into practice, you're deceiving yourselves. You have to do what it says. So with that in mind, what is it that God is asking you to do today? What is he asking you to do? It could be a variety of different things, right? Depending on your circumstance and where you're at, God could be asking you to do this and that. But I want to share with you two general things that I know for sure, that I know for a fact, that God is asking all of us in this room or just listening to the podcast that he's asking us to do. And the first one is that we're to think on the right things. All right? We have to think on the right things. When worry's coming in, one of the things that we are supposed to do is we have to think on the right things. Scripture says that we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. When we have those worrisome thoughts come in, we have to say, no, that's not of God. We take that thought captive and we make it obedient to Scripture. So when you start to worry, that's what we have to do. Because we know that fear is not from God, right? And worry is rooted in fear. It didn't come from God. So we take that thought captive, we make it obedient to Christ, and we get rid of worry. Scripture also tells us that we are to think on things that are pure and lovely and admirable. If anything is excellent and praiseworthy, to think on these things. And I would venture to say that a lot of the things that we worry about day in and day out don't fit that. It's not what we're called and instructed to think about. We focus on the negative things, not things that are pure and lovely and holy and admirable, praiseworthy. See, we have to retrain our minds on how to think, to eliminate worry. Focus on the things that God is telling us to focus on and do the things that he's asking us to do. And one of those things is that we have to focus on the right things. Second thing that God is asking every single one of us to do is simply to do what's wise. Right, I put that on my screensaver a while back at work. Do what's wise. If we could just filter that through our lives, so many things would be much better. For you and for everyone around you, if we could just do what is wise. Again, so back to the same example. If you don't have a job, well, the wise thing to do is to go apply for jobs. The wise thing to do is get your resume together. The wise thing to do is to get out there and network and get your name out there. That's what's wise. If your kids are going down the wrong path and they're struggling, what's wise would be to begin to pray for them, to love them, to seek counsel with them. That's what would be wise. If your marriage is struggling, the wise thing to do is, again, is to talk to somebody. Talk to someone that's been there, that struggled with some of those things, that are good, godly people. Talk to one of the pastors here at Life Point Church, or go seek counsel. Get some marriage counseling. Get in a life group. Connect with other people, other married people that have healthy marriages, and learn from them. Those are the wise things to do. Again, if you're single, right? Get out there. Meet some people. And please, brush your teeth, fix your hair, put on some deodorant. Do those things. There's things that we know that we are to do that are wise. And sitting back and worrying about every negative situation is not helping us. And it's not of God, because worry doesn't come from Him. So we have to eliminate that in our lives. So the first thing that we're going to do to eliminate that worry in our life is to do what God is asking us to do, to take action. Some things that we're called to do. The second thing that we need to do to get rid of worry in our lives is that we will give God what I cannot do. Right? So we're going to do the things that we can do, but those things that we cannot do that are out of our control or that are too much for us, we're going to give those to God. We're going to trust Him with those things. We're going to give it to Him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Not some things, but don't be anxious about anything. "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." He's saying basically just give it to God. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We've got to do the things that we know to do, that Scripture tells us to do, that God is leading us to do. But for those things that we can't, we have to give those over to God. We can't carry those things. We have to turn that over to Him. But see, if you're anything like me, what you'll do is you'll say, okay, that's what we're supposed to do, and I know that's what I'm supposed to do. So when there's these things that I know that I can't do, they're just too big, and so I'm just going to give that to God. I'm going to give it to Him. I'm going to lay it at His feet, and I'm going to trust Him with that. So I do that, God. There it is. "Hey, God, I put this here. I'm still waiting. Did you get it? Are you taking care of that? Hey, God, are you there? Okay, well, here, let me take it back." And then we take it back because it doesn't change or it doesn't do what we want in our timing, in our minds. And so we take it back upon ourselves, and that's where worry is born. We may give it to Him quickly, but then we take it back. Basically, what we're saying is that we are big, right? And we can do all these things, and God is too small. Because we're trying to trust ourselves over the Creator of all things, the one who loves and cares for us. We have to have a mentality shift. We've got to trust Him, know that He's big enough, far bigger than us, to handle all these things. And we give those things over to Him. It's when we have that right view of God that everything changes. And we're able to do that, truly do that. Not just with lip service, but to actually do it, to give those things over to Him. So again, let me throw out just a few kind of scenarios here, some yes or no questions. And I actually want you to answer those, so make sure you join in this. But let me ask, can you personally heal somebody of cancer? No. Well, you can't. You can't. Can God? Yeah, absolutely. Right? Can we protect our kids in all situations, all day, every day? Man, I wish I could. That's a tough one for me. I wish I could just put them in a little bubble and keep them safe. But we can't. But can God reign over them, watch over them, keep them safe? Sure. Absolutely He can, because He can do all things. So we give those things over to God, and we trust Him, those things that we cannot do. Can you change your spouse? No. Guys, newsflash, you can't. Ladies, you can't. You can't change your spouse. But can God? Can He change your spouse? Can He change their heart? Stop looking at each other and elbowing. Yes, God can do all of these things that we can't. And so we know this. and we have to give it over to him. We have to trust him. So to eliminate that worry in our lives, we're going to do what we can do. Do what it is that God is asking us to do. The second thing is we're going to turn over to God the things that we cannot do. We're not going to carry that and worry about it, but we're going to turn that over to God. And the third and final thought is that no matter what happens, I will trust God. And that's tough, but we have to commit to that. That no matter what happens, we choose to trust God in all things. We'll do what we can do and what he's instructing us to do. We'll give the other things over to him that we can't. And then regardless of the outcome, we're going to choose to continue to trust God. Here's what Jesus had to say about this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Then he continues, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. We are not to worry about tomorrow. Just don't worry about it. Trust God. Regardless of the outcome, we have to learn, retrain our minds, and commit to trusting him regardless. We have to realize that he's there. He's there with you now. He was with you yesterday, and he'll be with you tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and he's in control and reigns sovereign over all things. And we have to choose to trust him no matter what happens. We have to stop worrying. In order to do that, we have to commit to trusting him. We have to trust him when we pray and we seek his face for something, and he does what it is that we're requesting. We trust him. But when he doesn't, we still trust him. We commit to that. If he does the things that we think he should do, we trust him. When he doesn't, we still trust him. We believe that he has plans to prosper us, right? Not to harm us, to give us hope in a future. And even if it doesn't look like I think it should look, I'm going to trust that God is in control and that he knows better than me, that his ways are far beyond my ways, and I'll trust that he's going to work all things out. We have to commit to that and trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Man, I like to lean on my own understanding sometimes. I think I got it all figured out, and I like to do that. I'm that control freak. But it says here, do not lean on your own understanding. Don't worry. Worry is not going to do anything for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path known. He will make your path straight. We have to trust him. For better or worse, if it goes the way we think it should or if it doesn't, we choose to trust him. And you see, and as you draw close to him, and you submit to him, you fully trust him, you'll see how faithful he is. We'll see that he cares for you, that he loves you, that he's crazy about you. That no matter what, we're going to trust him. And there's been times in my life, like I said, where I was completely consumed with worry, leaning on my own understanding, miserable, just consumed. But then there's also been times in my life where there's been a lot of things going on, some challenging and very difficult things going on, and I didn't have a single worry in sight. I was able to think clearly and operate clearly and make decisions clearly, and there was no worry. And when I look back and compare the two, I see the presence of these three things. When I had that clarity and no worries, I was doing the things that God was telling me and instructing me to do. The things that I didn't carry. I laid those at God's feet. And then I said, "God, I trust you for the outcome. I'm going to trust you regardless of what happens, that that's your will and that's what's best for me, and I'm going to choose to trust that." I'm committing to that. And I don't know what it is this morning that you're worried about, that's consuming you. But I know for me, I've been sidelined by worry for far too long. And I refuse to let it control my life. I refuse to continue to live with that sin in my life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God. Why? For he cares about you. He loves you. He's crazy about you. He doesn't want you to be consumed with worry. He wants you to be on mission. He wants you to be in the game, making a difference for the kingdom. Living out what he created you to do. That's what he wants for you. So get rid of worry. Don't let it consume you anymore. Get rid of it. And you're going to do that by doing what he says to do, giving to him what you can, and trusting him regardless of the outcome. And as you do that, I promise you, he's going to begin to remove the worry from your life. He'll remove it. He'll set you free from that worry, from that spirit of fear that is not from him. He'll remove that from you so that you can be on mission. Again, do the things that he created you to do. Be the person, the beautiful creation that he created you to be. Be set free from worry today. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you so much, God, for your word. We thank you for the fact that as we in our flesh are consumed with these things, God, that are sinful, that are not of you, Lord, that we can have this roadmap, that we can see your truth and know how to navigate through those waters, to remove those things from our lives, God. Trusting in you, that you can do that. Not through our own power, God, but through your power and your strength. God, we know that you can set us free, and we're so thankful for that. God, may we be a church that is not full of worry, that's not full of bitterness, and that's not full of worry, God, but that are about your business of reaching the lost. God, may we be a church that's not full of worry. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here and you've never stepped over that line of faith. Maybe you've been coming to church for a little while or different points in time throughout your life, but you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe it's because of bitterness, maybe it's because of worry or whatever it may be, but you've kind of kept God at arm's reach, arm's distance. If that's you, I'm telling you this morning, it's time to remove that wall and run into God's arms. Scripture said that he loves you so much that he gave his only son for you, that whosoever believes in him will be saved. And he sent his son to die and raise again for you so that you could be made whole again, so that you could be made right with him. And if that's you this morning, you're ready to step over that line of faith, just call out to him how he leads you. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if you're ready to enter in that relationship with him, you just confess and believe this morning. Confess that he is who he says he is and that you are in desperate need of a Savior. And without him, you're nothing. And that his sacrifice is sufficient to forgive your sins. Confess that. Believe it with your heart. And give your life to him. And if that's you this morning, just call out to him how he leads. So we continue in prayer. Maybe you're a Christ follower. You've been coming to church for a long time. But man, you've been consumed with worry your entire life. Man, it is suffocating. It's not fun. It's miserable. But you don't have to stay that way. You don't have to walk out these doors holding on to that worry. You can release that. And then begin that journey to removing that worry every single day in your life. And God can do that. He can do that. Because you were not created to have that spirit of worry and that spirit of fear. It's not from God. So let's remove it from our lives. Remove it from our church. Remove it from our families. And trust God. trust his power, trust his promise, and remove worry from your life. As Mike plays, you just do business with God, however it is that he leads you. If you need to pray and ask God to help you battle worry, he'll do that. Do what you can do, lay the rest down at his feet and trust him. And he's going to remove that from your life. Or maybe it's that you need to confess and believe and step into that relationship with him. Accept him as your Savior. Whatever it is he's leading, you just do business with God this morning. God, again, I thank you for who you are. God, I pray for each and every person that's in here this morning, God, that you would speak to them. Speak truth into their heart, God. Speak truth into their life. And may we be responsive with what it is that you're leading. Where you're correcting us, where you're guiding us, God, may we be bold enough to receive that truth, God, and begin to do business with you, Father. Change lives today, God. Change lives today, God. In your name we pray. Amen.